Exodus chapter 2, if you will, look at verse 15. Now when Pharaoh heard this thing, he sought to slay Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And the shepherds came and drove them away, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. And when they came to rule their father, he said, "How is it that you're come so soon today?" And they said, "An Egyptian delivered us out of the hand of the shepherds, and also drew water enough for us and watered the flock." And he said unto his daughters, "And where is he? Why is it that ye have left the man? Call him that he may eat bread." And Moses was content to dwell with the man, and he gave Moses Zipporah his daughter. She bare him a son, and he called his name Gershom, for he said, "I've been a stranger in a strange land." We're going to leave off leading right there, and I want to preach to you tonight on the subject of lessons from the education of Moses. A lesson from the education of Moses. Years ago, and I do not remember who said it, but years ago I heard a preacher say something along this line, that Moses spent the first 40 years of his life learning to be a somebody in the court of Pharaoh. And then he spent the second 40 years of his life learning to be a nobody out in the wilderness of Midian. And the last 40 years of his life, he spent learning how God could take a nobody and make a somebody out of him. And I think really that sums up Moses' life really pretty well. If that's true, then God had something for him to learn, if you will, in every stage of his life. Now, I suppose after 45 years of being involved in a Christian school and at least 5 years teaching in a Bible college, I could, I guess, refer to myself as an educator, all right? If I'm not, I have sure wasted a lot of years and a lot of time in life. But I never would suppose for even a moment that I could teach someone what God can. And God has things to teach us, all right? And I sometimes think that I've learned more in these years than I've been able to teach. And I have learned a great deal. But we need to remember something. We ought to be concerned as to what God wants us to learn. I don't believe we're here and God says, "Okay, you've got it, we're done." I don't believe that at all. I believe as long as you're here, God's got something to teach you. I believe there's some things we need to learn. We'll never get to the point where we know it all. Hey, you can never get to the point where you understand everything in the Word of God. You'll never get there where you can say, there's nothing from the Bible that causes me any questions. I understand everything there. Hey, there's things I read in the Bible, and I think, I wonder what the Lord's talking about here. I wonder what the application is. Now, I don't feel bad because I've read behind a lot of men that have been at it a lot longer than I have. And I remember reading one time. He said, somebody had asked him when he was going to write a book on these particular books in the Bible. He said, "When I get it figured out." Amen. And he had been at it for a long time. And even then, I'll get to some place reading a book that he's written, and he'll say, he'll get to a point, and he said, "I really have no idea what this is talking about." But he's honest. Amen. I don't like people that act like, "Well, I know everything." Well, I don't know everything. And God's got some things he's teaching me, and he's got some things he wants to teach you. I believe what he taught Moses can benefit all of us, all right? What he taught Moses. We're just going to look about 8 or 9 things, something like that I want you to see that we can benefit. First thing I want you to understand, I want you to look at verse 17. Now remember where we're coming from, all right? In chapter 2, Moses was born, in chapter 1, he's born, he's taken into the house of the daughter of Pharaoh, but the Lord works it out where his own mother gets paid to nurse him and take care of him and train him. So he was in that position, but he grew up, and he got to be 40 years old, and he made a decision. He chose to identify himself with the people of God. Amen. And the Bible even says he went so far as to kill a fellow, Egyptian, who was beaten up and mistreating a fellow Israelite. Now, that wasn't the right thing to do, but he did it, all right? Then we see again the next day he comes back. He's trying to break up these two Israelites that are fighting, and they looked at him. One of them said, what are you going to do, kill us like you did the Egyptian the other day? And old Moses thought, man, I didn't think anybody knew that. Well, that's what's happening in verse 15. When Pharaoh heard this thing, what about Moses killing the Egyptian? And he got after Moses. Moses said, it seemed like a good time to leave the country. And he took off. But we look, if you will, look in verse 17. The shepherds came and drove them away. That's these women who were there to water their father's sheep. And then the Bible says, but Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. I want you to see this. I believe there's a great indication in the Word of God that Moses, now I want to talk to you about some things God taught him, but I want you to see this. Moses had a good foundation to begin with. I believe Moses had a good foundation to begin with. Somewhere in the first 40 years of his life, Moses had a good foundation laid. And I don't believe for a minute it came from the culture or the wisdom of Egypt. I don't believe that for a moment. I've said it before, say it again to you tonight. I believe it came from his mama. I believe it came from his mama, the one who was hired to take care of him as a child. You say, well, wait a minute, she only had him undoubtedly for just a little while, just as a very young child. That's right. That means she put some effort in it from the beginning to instill in her son some truths that stuck with him even when he got to be 40 years old. Hey, it stuck with him in spite of everything they tried to teach him in Egypt. All the culture of Egypt. Hey, if you know anything about Egyptian culture, there wasn't anything godly about it. Man, it was an ungodly religion, and there was nothing about it that was good. And so here he is coming up in that, but when he gets to a point where he's given a situation that these women need some help, he immediately jumped in and said, I'm going to help them. Now that came because somebody had put something in him before. Somebody had put something in him before. I believe that. Hey, folks, listen, I believe it is a great failure by many people who waste the early years of their children and fail to teach them and train them during those years. You know, the Bible talks about we start training them when they're weaned, when they're little. Just immediately start teaching and training them. You ought to have them in Sunday school. You ought to have them in Sunday school. You ought to be in Sunday school every Sunday. Every Sunday, be there. Don't let them miss. Ought to be in everything you get to help them. Hey, but let me say this to you. When they get old enough to get to school, you need to put them in a Christian school. Don't take your kids down to the government Egyptian schools and let the world educate those kids, all right? Don't do that. You'll say, well, why not? Well, you're going to have trouble. That's why. They're not going to have a good foundation laid. Not going to have a good foundation at all. But wait a minute, I'm not saying to you, leave it all up to somebody else to do. You've got a job. You've got a job. There belong those children. Your children belong to you. You kiddos are in the service. Listen up. Let your parents teach you some things. Amen. Don't resist it. They're trying to help you. Man, Moses' mom put something into him that gave him the foundation he had. I'm a believer in reading. I believe reading is a foundation for all learning. Amen. And I believe if you can't read, you're going to have a hard time learning. Right. Now, I'm not discounting what you can be taught as far as a job or skills. Those are good too. But man, when it comes to learning, you need to know how to read. Amen. Trust me, in this day, you need to read. Amen. Because you cannot trust what you hear on ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, and any of the rest of them. You cannot trust what comes to you from the news media. So you need to read. Now be careful what you read. Be careful what you read. I've got in my pocket an Apple smartphone, okay? It's an Apple product. And not because I wanted it, because I can't figure out how to keep it. They send me Apple news pretty much every day. I get something. But it's always warped. It's always warped. The words they use put a twist to it. Hey, you need to learn to look out for that kind of thing. You need a foundation. You need that foundation. You said, I didn't get it. All right, then put it in yourself. Build it now. Build it now. Here in North Texas, you constantly, you'll drive by houses and you'll see them digging little holes out beside the house. Well, all of us know what that is. There's foundation problems in that house. So they're repairing the foundation. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If you don't have a good foundation, we'll put one in now. All right? We can go in and put a good foundation under houses now. It's a trick, and some people are better at it than others. Well, if they can do that, you can put one in your life. So put it in. Put the effort, all right? So I want you to see some things Moses learned. First off, right there in verse 17, he found out there was injustice everywhere. There's injustice everywhere. Here's a group of shepherds taking advantage of these seven sisters. What they'd do, they'd wait until those sisters had drawn water, and then they'd run her flocks away from it, and they'd water their flocks. So those girls had to dip in twice and water flocks. What a thing for people to do. You know what? Moses found out there's injustice everywhere. Now, he had fled from Egypt. There was injustice there. There was injustice there. His people were being treated unjustly. They were being beaten. They were held in slavery, all right? There were problems. Hey, but you know what? There was problems out in the wilderness of Midian, too. There's problems everywhere. You don't have to look far for trouble. You don't have to look far to find people that have trouble, that being mistreated, that are having problems. There's injustice. It's everywhere. You don't have to, you know, scurry around and beat the bushes. It'll show up pretty quick. It's there. Moses found that out. Folks, you and I, we need to realize that. You say, why? Because maybe God can use you to help somebody. He can use you to help somebody. So Moses learned there was injustice everywhere. Moses learned something else too. Moses learned that you can't quit just because of past rejection. You cannot quit just because of past rejection. Would you think about Moses just for a moment here? Moses, remember, this is the guy, this is the fellow that twice before had intervened in other people's problems. That we know of. Twice before. He had gone into that situation where one of his fellow countrymen was being abused by its master, if you will, and he looked around, didn't see anybody, and killed him. Thought, well, I'll do it, and he buried him in the sand. Now, that did not turn out too well for Moses, all right? Because that's why in verse 15 he fled, because word got out. Like everybody else, he figured, my sin, I'll cover it up. You can't cover it up. Well, he tried again, though, the next day. Two of his fellow countrymen were out there. They got in a big argument, and he thought, well, I'm going to help. I'm going to help. I'm going to intervene and help arbitrate this situation. I'll be the mediator. I'll calm it down. And the first thing they did is, what are you going to do, kill us the way you did that guy? Moses, hey, after two experiences like that, how would you feel about jumping in and to mediate with somebody else? You know, it wouldn't have been a surprise if old Moses had been sitting there on that well and by that well, saw what went on and thought, I ain't getting involved. Because every time I've gotten involved, things have not turned out good. They've just not turned out real well. Didn't turn out the way he planned, okay? Now, you run into situations you may have tried in the past that I'm going to try to do something good. I'm going to try to help. I'm going to try to be a help. And you look back and you think it didn't have any success at all. Didn't make things work better, made things worse. Didn't make it better for me, it made it worse for me. And I had complications because of it. So what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to quit trying to do what's right. No, you can't do that. Amen. You can't do that. You can't quit doing what's right because of past rejection, all right? There's still people out there who need some help. And there's somebody that'll let you do it, and there's a few folks that'll even say thank you. There's a few that'll even say thank you. So don't get the idea. Moses could have easily gotten the idea, hey, I'm going to quit because of past rejection. But you can't do that. You can't do that. You have to keep on going. Hey, he learned some lessons. You know, I think maybe the one thing he learned, maybe above everything else, he learned that his way wasn't always the right way. And it sure wasn't the best way. Moses, like everybody else. We were at Red Lobster the other evening. We had a gift card to eat. And we were over there, and we walked in, and I don't even know how I got to talking to a man that was there. He was waiting for a table. And so just talking to him for a second, and he something was said, and he said, "Well, but we can justify it." I said, "Oh, yeah. We can justify everything. We can just justify everything. We can figure out, hey, my way's better." Hey, listen, the way I want to talk to you about is you be careful in this old world that your actions, what you do, you're careful about doing them before you examine and look for the will of God. What is the will of God? There was, before Moses killed that Egyptian, there was no prayer. There wasn't even a quick prayer. "Lord, is it okay if I kill him?" You know, he didn't even pray that prayer. He didn't do that. There was no prayer put into it. He wasn't seeking the will of God and the way of God. He thought, "This is my plan. It's the best way to do it. I'll handle it." Hey, look, we find out a lot of times it's not our way. Amen. It's God's way. And what we've got to do is we've got to put the effort in to check for the will of God and make sure that my ways please Him. Amen. Please Him. You know what? It doesn't have to please you. But it needs to please Him. It needs to please God. We get the idea sometime, though, hey, what I do is always right. I always do the best thing. No, Moses found out that his way wasn't always the best way, all right? I'll tell you something else. I believe the fourth thing he found out, you need to stand on your own convictions. You need to stand on your own convictions. He stood up against those fellows, those shepherds, that were pushing aside those the ladies' flocks and then taking advantage of her and their effort. He stood up on his own convictions. He took a stand about it and helped them, all right? He drove the other fellows away. He stood on his own convictions. We live in a time where I'm not sure people have much conviction. We're wishy-washy about what we believe. We won't stand on it. I can't help it in the day in which we're living now. I think of all the political junk that goes on. I don't think there's too many politicians out of the, 400-plus that are in Washington, D.C. I don't believe that many of them have any real convictions. Amen. They're more likely to stick their finger in their mouth and figure out which way the wind's blowing and say, "Okay, that's the way we'll go." They don't have any convictions. Don't have any convictions. You and I need to stand on what we believe. Now, you can't do that unless you know what you believe. And you need to know what you believe from the Word of God. Amen. From the Word of God. It doesn't just need to be, "Well, I think." I think. No, it needs to be on the Word of God. Here's what I believe, and here's why I believe it. Next thing I want you to see old Moses learned, he learned that you can solve your problems by helping other people with theirs. With theirs. He said, "What do you mean?" Well, here's Moses. All right, look there, if you will, what he said in verse 22, at the end of verse 22. He said, "I've been a stranger in a strange land." He came to the land of Midian. He wasn't an Egyptian, but he seemed to be an Egyptian. He was accused of being and thought to be an Egyptian, but he was really a Hebrew. He was an Israelite. But here he comes into this land where he knew nobody. He had nothing. He had nowhere to go. He had come from Pharaoh's palace where he had everything. He's now in that situation. And the first thing he does is help these seven ladies and seven women take care of their flock. And look what it did for him. It says, man, verse 20, their dad said, "What'd y'all leave him out there for? Go get him. Bring him in here that he may eat bread." He may eat bread. I guarantee you Moses is interested in eating. Because he was a man. Every man's interested in eating, all right? We're interested in what's up, you know. I couldn't even tell you how many times I've looked at my wife while we were eating lunch and said, "What are we having for supper?" I was wanting to plan ahead, all right? And it wanted to, nothing wrong with lunch, but I want to know what we're having later on, all right? Hey, I want you to see, though, Moses helping other people with their problems solved his problem. Look what he got, okay? He was content to dwell with a man. He got a place to live. Amen. He got a place to live, all right? He got his needs taken care of. He got a job. They put him to work. He began to help tend that fellow's flock, all right? He worked with them. He got a job. You know that he got a wife, okay? He got a wife and a family in that deal. Why? All because he was helping somebody else with their problems. Now, if he'd have never helped them, if he'd have looked at those women and said, I ain't getting involved, I don't know what happened to him. But because he helped somebody else take care of their problems, it took care of his problems. You said, preacher, I just don't see how it can work out. Moses would have said the same thing, but it did. Amen. But it did. He learned that you can do that, all right? He learned you can do that. I'm going to put in this next one, and it's really, we're going to look at it next time I preach to you on Moses, all right? But sometimes you have to get away to get to God. Sometimes you have to get away to get to God. Moses spent some time in the desert, in the wilderness, with a flock of sheep. Can I say this to you? Watching sheep is not really a labor-intensive job. It's not labor-intensive. You can watch sheep sitting under a shade tree. You just watch them. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have to get up and do things every now and then, but it's not constant labor. It's not like bricklaying, all right? Not like that. It's not that kind of job. Not labor intensive. He had some time to think. He's like, you remember there's another fellow in the Bible, a fellow we know as David. And you get in the book of Psalms, you've read a lot of them. The Bible says it's the Psalm of David. The Psalm of David. Where'd that come from? Well, that was a lot of those were written while David was watching those sheep. Hey, he had time to think. He had time to think. There was a time there for so God could deal with him. And God could get his attention. Boy, I'm oftentimes afraid that we get so busy in our world we live in today that we can't hear the still small voice of God. When God speaks, we got so much racket going on around us, we can't hear it. We cannot hear it. Boy, let me say, turn off the TV. Go out in the yard if need be, all right? Or go crawl in the closet if you have to, all right? But just spend a little... I'm not talking about trying to hide from anything. And I don't mean sit cross-legged with your fingers out going, all right? I'm not talking about that. But give God a chance to speak to you. Amen. Give God a chance to speak with you. Maybe it'll have to be late at night. Everybody else in the house is in the bed. Get out the Word of God and let God speak to you, all right? Let Him work in there. Let Him get you thinking on the truth of the Word of God. Oh, man, God help us. Moses found out sometimes you just need to get away if you can get to God. Get away from everything else, all right? But you know what he learned also? He learned that you just might have to wait on God. You just might have to wait on God. God doesn't move with our timetable. He works on his timetable. I do believe Moses realized God wanted him to do something with his people. I believe that's why he made a choice. He chose to suffer affliction with the people of God. Why? God dealt with him. But in the beginning, he wanted to do it right now, right? Let's get it going. God wasn't ready. Hey, by the way, Moses wasn't ready. Moses wasn't ready for the job God had for him to do. Not by one stretch of your imagination was he ready. For one thing, we know he had a pretty good temper. He wouldn't have killed that Egyptian taskmaster. He had a pretty good temper. Now, I'm glad none of us have ever had a problem with temper, okay? Never had any kind of trouble like that, right? We're very patient, understanding people, right? No, sometimes we need to learn some patience. God has to tell us, not now. I'll never forget hearing a preacher say there's three answers to prayer. Yes, no, and wait a while. Now, I don't know about y'all, but waiting a while is not one of the things I like to do. I do not like to wait a while. I get in a store. The other day I was out at Lowe's, and I was looking for some stuff, and I got it, and I looked around. I thought at first, great, there's no cashier. I got to go over here and talk to a stupid machine, check myself out, you know, and pay for the privilege of getting out of this place. And I'm not going to use them if I can possibly avoid it, and I usually can. And so I finally saw the one place that was open, so I go get in line. I'm standing there, and I get to looking at the two things I've got, and I realize one of them's the wrong thing. And I'm already, there's two people ahead of me, and the guy behind me, and I'm going, great. So I'm going to have to step out of the line and just walk right there and come back, but I'm going to be one further back in line. And I don't like to wait. I don't like to wait. And then the guy I wind up getting behind has got 47 little bitty items. Beep, beep, you know, got to do it all. Man, I don't like to wait. But God says, I'm going to teach you something, boy. He said, you're going to learn some patience. Moses had to learn that, all right? God doesn't move on his time, on our timetable. God's timetable's his. We're not ready for everything. Moses wasn't ready to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt. He needed 40 years of seasoning. 40 years of seasoning. But boy, it did something for him. He got a different attitude. He got some grace. He got some meekness in that time. And let me say this. He was going to need every bit of it when he stood before Pharaoh and said, I want you to let my people go. He needed every bit of it. The last thing I want you to see is this. I believe Moses learned God could provide for him and he could protect him. He could take care of him. Say, well, how's that? Well, remember, he spent the biggest part of 40 years in Pharaoh's house. In Pharaoh's house. He didn't need to worry about protection. That was one thing he really had there in Egypt. But now he's out of Egypt. And the truth of the matter is he's kind of running for his life. But he found out God could protect him. God could protect him. God could provide for him. He could provide for him. If he'd just do what God said, God could provide for him. Last night, my wife and I were out visiting some folks, and we were sitting at their table and talking, and I don't even remember what brought it up. They brought up talking about tithing. I didn't bring it up, okay? They brought it up. But what they said was this. They said when we were first taught tithing, he said we were barely making ends meet. We were just barely making ends meet. But he said we decided to tithe, and the wife said, I'm the one that made out the check, and she said I'd do it like this. Here it is, you know, kind of giving it. But she said they found out God could provide for them. God could provide for them. Let me tell you, God can. God can provide for you. I don't care what your situation is. If you'll do His will and you'll seek His will first, He can provide for you. And by the way, He can protect you. He can protect you. You say, well, I've known some Christians that got killed. That means it's time for them to get to heaven. Because if God's not ready, He can protect you. He can protect you. Moses found that out. Hey, let me just close tonight by asking this. What is it you need to learn? What is it you need to learn? Maybe there's some of these things Moses had to learn you need to learn. Well, get them from his life. I've always said it's better to learn from somebody else's experience than have to have the experience yourself. You can learn from them. Hey, maybe it's something else. Boy, would you listen to God and let Him teach you without having to hit you upside the head? Some people, you know, God has hit them upside the head. And in some cases, I've seen people, I think He had to do it a couple of three times before they'd get it. Well, let's not be like that. Let's not be the guy that says, well, I'm just, you know, I couldn't figure it out. Hey, how many times has God got to show you before you get it? Hey, listen, learn, pay attention. You're here on this earth. God's not through with you. He's working on you. He's trying to teach you some things. He's trying to teach you some things. Let him teach you those things. Moses learned them, but it took him 40 years to get the learning. People today go to college. I think about Brother Dual Shaw. He's in medical school, and I don't even know how many years it takes to get to be a doctor. To me, it seems like about 20, but I know it's not that long. But with Moses, it's 40 years for him to get his graduate degree. 40 years. Hey, don't be that slow a learner. Let God teach you, all right? Amen. Heavenly Father, help us tonight. Help us to see there's things that Moses learned that can help us. Things that he experienced, Lord, we could benefit from. Things that he learned that would be a blessing to him, Lord, be a blessing to us. And Lord, not so that we can just know it and go around, but make us a better Christian. Lord, it'd make us more useful for you. Everything you were teaching Moses was so he could use it when he took your people out of Egypt. Lord, help us to learn tonight what you want us to learn. Help us to be attentive when you're teaching. And Lord, that we can be the Christian you want us to be. We can be the servant you want us to be. And Lord, we can do the job that you've got for us. First, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you tonight. It's good to have you. You're dismissed.